For Dr. David Dow, life's a drag thanks to United Airlines. Dow compares what United did to him to the horrors of fleeing Vietnam in 1975. And now his lawyer is talking on this edition of Emil and Mucks Takeout. Hi, everyone. Hey, welcome to what I call Emil and Mucks Takeout. We serve it, you take it out. It's my takes on all things about race, society, politics, and diversity, and everything those things touch in our culture and society with respect to Asian Americans. And you don't have to be Asian American to lend us your ears. I'm Emil Guillermo, your host. And you might ask, what is this Latino guy doing hosting this show? Well, he lates, I'm Filipino American. Okay, so why a muck, Emil? Well, the short story is for nearly 15 years, my Emil and Muck column was a staple of Asian Week, what was once the leading Asian American weekly in English in America. A Muck was the name of my compilation of essays, and a Muck is on my driver's license and not indicative of my mental state. We're brought to you by ALDEF, the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund, where you'll find my Amok column now. It's on the blog at aldef.org, aldef.org/blog. ALDEF, incidentally, is a 501c3, and if you like our program, please go to the blog and hit the donate button. It's fully tax deductible at www.aldef.org/blog. Hey, on this episode, this is a podcast, so I can't show it to you, but I'm sure you heard this. It's Dr. David Dow on the Sunday before Easter. It's the unmistakable screech heard round the world. But before we get into that, we need to put it all in perspective. I mean, the Trump administration has sent another very different message to the world, and it's a scary one. A non-nuclear bomb called the mother of all bombs doesn't send Afghanistan back to the Stone Ages, but close. It should also give us pause. Missile strikes one Thursday, a huge bomb the next, the largest since Hiroshima. You can start worrying about Trump well before you get to the nuclear codes. He seems to love his generals and his bombs. It's a troubling time. What can we do? Write your congressman? Call the White House, pleading for sanity? Times like this, maybe the lesson is to take a little more time and care in our personal lives and the way we treat all the people we see on a daily basis with a little more respect, fairness, and dignity in our everyday matters. I mean, these are scary enough times when we've got Trump flexing his might while trying to outdo Kim Jong-un. But it figures, the two world leaders prone to bad hair days. So we try to concentrate on what we can. Person to person, corporation to consumer. And now we're back to the dragging of Dr. Dow. By now, you've surely seen that looping video strung together from the good citizens with cell phone cameras, who once again teach us the lesson that the video doesn't lie. There it is looping on all your news feeds like a modern Zapruder film or a Rodney King video. If you haven't seen the video, then maybe you've heard it. While the video shows how 69-year-old Dr. Dow forcibly removed from his seat on United Express Flight 3411. The pictures blur your eyes, but it's his screeching cry that haunts and makes the video so much harder to watch. Now, anyone who has experienced a transgression of any kind, racial, sexual, personal, micro, or king size, you've heard it. Maybe you've even made the same sound yourself. And of course, my heart dropped when I first saw Dow's bloodied Asian American face. United CEO Oscar Munoz at first said Dow was disruptive and belligerent. Actually, it looks and sounds like he was just in agony. Since the first day, more videos have come up, and thank God for those cell phone videos, One shows Dow talking to the now suspended Chicago Aviation Police. Dow is calmly standing his ground.
No, I'm not going. I am not going.
Well, you can drag me down. I won't go. I'm not going. I stay right there.
And then they did drag him. Dow has hired one of Chicago's best personal injury attorneys. I'll play snippets from the news conference right now, and then we'll play a larger chunk later. Thomas Demetrio is Dow's lawyer.
This was not a troubled passenger. This was not a nut job. This was not a threat to anybody.
And when he was asked if race had anything to do with the dragging, he mentioned an email that he got the night before from someone
who suggested that Dr. Dow was the modern-day Asian Rosa Parks. I don't think that's the case at all. I think what happened to Dr. Dow could have happened to any one of us.
So according to Demetrio, race is not a thing, not at least to him. Here's more from Demetrio.
We're gathered here because of a rather disturbing video that went viral, as things do in our world today. The media inquiries of us has been quite amazing, which is why we thought this might be the best way to go about answering your various questions. Mr. Munoz has taken to the airwaves and has given his view of things, a couple versions of it. And I thought it might be a good idea to put this video in the perspective of my world of law. Here's the law, real simple. If you're going to eject a passenger, under no circumstances can it be done with unreasonable force or violence. That's the law. If unreasonable force and violence is used under a set of circumstances, the common carrier, United Airlines in this case, is responsible. For each of us in this room, as we bump along in a day-to-day fashion, we owe each other an ordinary care standard. I'm not to be careless and hurt you. I'm not to be negligent and hurt you. But in the world of common carriers, they have the highest duty of care to provide protection and safety to its fare-paying passengers. As we all saw on the video, that was not done. That was not done in this case. And I would defy anyone to suggest that there was not unreasonable force and violence used to help Dr. Dow disembark that plane. So, the laws are there for the protection of each of us. What's been extraordinary in just these few days since the event has been that the calls I have received from passengers, from employees of United, former employees of United, with respect to what we all saw. And the fact of the matter is, I have concluded the following, that for a long time, airlines, United in particular, have bullied us. They have treated us less than maybe we deserve. I conclude that what, based upon hundreds, literally hundreds, of tales of woe, of mistreatment by United, is that here's what we want as a society. We want fairness in how people treat us. We want respect, and we want dignity. That's it. Not a big deal. This seems so simple. Forget the law for a minute that requires common decency in the treatment of passengers. But just treat us with respect. Make us feel like you really care. And I must say, I don't believe it's limited to the airline industry. I think corporate America needs to understand that we all want to be treated in the same manner, with the same respect and the same dignity that they would treat their own family members. If they do that, wouldn't it be great? So, will there be a lawsuit? Yeah, probably. As you may know, we've taken a step. Monday, there's a hearing at 10 o'clock in our local courthouse here in Chicago to protect and preserve certain evidence we're going to need down the line. It's just not a matter of throwing the video up and asking the jury, okay, who wins? So it's a process. But Dr. Dow, to, I believe, his great credit, has come to understand that he's the guy. He's the guy to stand up for passengers going forward.
Demetrio mentioned the apology from United's Munoz, who's a Latino from humble beginnings and should be more sensitive. As far as the adequacy of United's apology, Demetrio said neither he nor his colleagues or the family have heard anything from the company directly. And what Munoz did say fell short of the mark.
Mr. Munoz gave an interview on national television. And he was asked point blank, did Dr. Dow do anything wrong? You know what he did? He hesitated. He hesitated. Maybe he thought, well, where'd that question come from? But then he regrouped and he said, no, he did nothing wrong. No one should have been treated the way he was treated. Stating the obvious. But he didn't state it initially. Initially, he backed up his people. And that may be the big part of the problem, the culture. It's us against them. Well, we're them. And this lawsuit, among other things, hopefully, will create a not just national discussion, but international discussion on how we're going to be treated going forward. Are we going to just continue to be treated like cattle? Bullied? Rude treatment? We all have enough, angst for flying as it is. A lot of stuff out there. But don't treat the people who help make you the corporate entity you are like Dr. Dow was treated.
At the news conference was Dow's daughter, Crystal Pepper, one of five children of Dow's who spoke and thanked Dow's supporters.
On behalf of my dad and my entire family, we would like to express our gratitude for the huge outpouring of prayers, love, and concern that we have received from all over the world these past few days. We would also like to thank the physicians, the nurses, and all the hospital staff that has taken care of my dad. It has been a very difficult time for our entire family, especially my dad, and we are truly grateful for your support. What happened to my dad should have never happened to any human being, regardless of the circumstance. We were horrified and shocked and sickened to learn what had happened to him and to see what had happened to him. We hope that in the future, nothing like this happens again. Thank you so much again for your support.
And she also talked about how it felt to see her father dragged off the plane.
We were completely horrified and shocked at what had happened to my father when we learned of the incident. Seeing it on video made those emotions exacerbated. My dad is healing right now, and that's all I have to say about that.
He's still in the hospital.
I can tell you that he was discharged late last night, that he did, in fact, suffer a significant concussion as a result of disembarking that plane. And I can also tell you that he had a serious broken nose, injury to the sinuses, and he is going to be undergoing shortly reconstructive surgery in that regard. There have been a lot of inquiries about, did he really lose any teeth? Yeah, he lost two front teeth. But the concussions are sort of a iffy condition. I don't know, you know, ultimately, long-term, hopefully there will not be any significant repercussions because of that, but he's shaken.
Demetrio did find one thing where race was relevant. He talked about one of the cell phone videos that showed Dow yelling, "Just kill me, just kill me." A reporter asked why he was saying that.
Derek Hinkle, AFP. I wonder, could you talk a little bit? I think a lot of us were wondering what was going through your father's mind when he was holding on to the post and saying, "Just kill me, just kill me." Can you talk about, kind of, I know he was on a long international flight. Can you talk about what his mental state was and what he was trying to express there?
I think I can, if you don't mind. Only because I asked him that question. Here's what he told me. He said that he left Vietnam in 1975 when Saigon fell. And he was on a boat. And he said he was terrified. He said that being dragged down the aisle was more horrifying and harrowing than what he experienced in leaving Vietnam. That was his response to me.
So those are the snippets from the news conference. I'll play a larger chunk from the first 20 minutes of the conference next. But it's clear to me that when the inevitable lawsuit is filed, Dow is the universal everyman consumer. And what happened to him should never happen to any paying customer ever.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tom Demetrio, and this is Steve Golan, and this is Crystal Pepper at the end. Steve and I have the honor and responsibility to represent Dr. Dow, and Crystal is one of Dr. Dow's five children. I'm going to say a few words. Crystal is going to say a few words, and then we'll open it up to any questions you might have. I would ask only that if you do ask a question, you state your name and your affiliation. So we're gathered here because of a rather disturbing video that went viral, as things do in our world today. The media inquiries of us has been quite amazing, which is why we thought this might be the best way to go about answering your various questions. Mr. Munoz has taken to the airwaves and has given his view of things, a couple versions of it. And I thought it might be a good idea to put this video in the perspective of my world of law. Here's the law, real simple. If you're going to eject a passenger, under no circumstances can it be done with unreasonable force or violence. That's the law. If unreasonable force and violence is used under a set of circumstances, the common carrier, United Airlines in this case, is responsible. For each of us in this room, as we bump along in a day-to-day fashion, we owe each other an ordinary care standard. I'm not to be careless and hurt you. I'm not to be negligent and hurt you. But in the world of common carriers, they have the highest duty of care to provide protection and safety to its fare-paying passengers. As we all saw on the video, that was not done. That was not done in this case. And I would defy anyone to suggest that there was not unreasonable force and violence used to help Dr. Dowd disembark that plane. So, the laws are there for the protection of each of us. What's been extraordinary in just these few days since the event has been the calls I have received from passengers, from employees of United, former employees of United, with respect to what we all saw. And the fact of the matter is, I have concluded the following, that for a long time, airlines, United in particular, have bullied us. They have treated us less than maybe we deserve. I conclude that what, based upon hundreds, literally hundreds, of tales of woe, of mistreatment by United, is that here's what we want as a society. We want fairness in how people treat us. We want respect, and we want dignity. That's it. Not a big deal. This seems so simple. Forget the law for a minute that requires common decency in the treatment of passengers. But just treat us with respect. Make us feel like you really care. And I must say, I don't believe it's limited to the airline industry. I think corporate America needs to understand that we all want to be treated in the same manner, with the same respect and the same dignity that they would treat their own family members. If they do that, wouldn't it be great? So, Will there be a lawsuit? Yeah, probably. As you may know, we have taken a step. Monday, there's a hearing at 10 o'clock in our local courthouse here in Chicago to protect and preserve certain evidence we're going to need down the line. It's just not a matter of throwing the video up and asking the jury, okay, who wins? So it's a process. But Dr. Dow, to, I believe, his great credit, has come to understand that he's the guy. He's the guy to stand up for passengers going forward. Yesterday, Mr. Munoz gave an interview on national television, and he was asked point blank, did Dr. Dow do anything wrong? You know what he did? He hesitated. He hesitated. Maybe he thought, well, where'd that question come from? But then he regrouped and he said, no, he did nothing wrong. No one should have been treated the way he was treated, stating the obvious. But he didn't state it initially. Initially, he backed up his people. And that may be the big part of the problem, the culture. It's us against them. Well, we're them. And this lawsuit, among other things, hopefully, will create a not just national discussion, but international discussion on how we're going to be treated going forward. Whether it's a matter of overbooking, and I think perhaps that's what's going on. But if I understand what occurred last Sunday here in Chicago, it wasn't even a matter of overbooking. It was a matter of, at the last moment, four employees had to get to Louisville so they could go to work the next day on various flights. So we have to figure out, United has to figure out, the airline industry has to figure out, what do? We take money from people, we let them sit on the airplane, seat-belted. Are we really gonna just start taking them off then? Is that what we want as a society? Or maybe we keep some seats open for that emergency when a pilot, a co-pilot, a flight attendant has to get to a destination unexpectedly. Maybe airlines need to start expecting the unexpected, but not at the expense, certainly not at the physical expense of its paying passengers. So, our role, Steve, myself, going forward, will be to just get the facts and to get them out. And we're going to be vocal about the whole subject of what we as a society say passengers are entitled to. Are we going to just continue to be treated like cattle, bullied, rude treatment? We all have enough, angst for flying as it is. A lot of stuff out there. But don't treat the people who help make you the corporate entity you are like Dr. Dow was treated. So I'm going to ask Crystal to, she wanted to address you. make any statement, and then if I haven't been clear or you have further questions, I'm happy to answer. Okay, Crystal?
On behalf of my dad and my entire family, we would like to express our gratitude for the huge outpouring of prayers, love, and concern that we have received from all over the world these past few days. We would also like to thank the physicians, the nurses, and all the hospital staff that has taken care of my dad. It has been a very difficult time for our entire family, especially my dad, and we are truly grateful for your support. What happened to my dad should have never happened to any human being, regardless of the circumstance. We were horrified and shocked and sickened to learn what had happened to him and to see what had happened to him. We hope that in the future, nothing like this happens again. Thank you so much again for your support.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Don Babin, Associated Press. There was talk early on that Mr. Dow was perhaps suggested that his race was an issue. Do you believe the fact that he was that his race played into this? That he was.
I personally do not. I don't think this is a matter of race at all. I'll share with you a email I got actually late last night from actually. Sounds like an Irishman to me, on paper, who suggested that Dr. Dow was the modern-day Asian Rosa Parks. I don't think that's the case at all. I think what happened to Dr. Dow could have happened to any one of us. Yes, sir, in the green tie.
First, a question for you.
Can you state your name?
Sure. It's Chris Van Cleve from CBS News. When you saw this video, can you tell us what you were feeling? Just take us to the emotion of what you were feeling when you saw this video, and it's certainly been replayed countless times now. And also, if you could give us an update on how your father is doing.
Can you do that? If feel free, Crystal. If you don't want to, don't. But if
like
you can.
Like I said earlier, we were completely horrified and shocked at what had happened to my father when we learned of the incident. Seeing it on video made those emotions exacerbated. My dad is healing right now, and that's all I have to say about that.
He's still in the hospital. I can tell you that he was discharged late last night, that he did, in fact, suffer a significant concussion as a result of disembarking that plane. And I can also tell you that he had a serious broken nose, injury to the sinuses, and he is going to be undergoing shortly reconstructive surgery in that regard. There have been a lot of inquiries about, did he really lose any teeth? Yeah, he lost two front teeth. But the concussions are sort of a iffy condition. I don't know, you know, ultimately, long term, hopefully there will not be any significant repercussions because of that, but he's shaken. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tom, Steve Forrest from CNN. Yesterday, Oscar Munoz of United said in his interview that he and his people have reached out to Dr. Dow, but have had no luck. Have either of you gentlemen heard from United and spoken directly, either to Munoz or his people, or the family?
The answer is no.
I have not heard anything either, and to the best of my knowledge, and I checked this, I have not heard it from United either, and I asked Crystal this morning whether or not her family had a voice message or something, and the answer is no.
Yes, ma'am.
Jessica Wong from the Chinese Daily Newspaper World Journal. I have the question for the Crystal. Did your family originally come from the China? So, because things like he mentioned, say, I've been selected because I'm Chinese. So, we're just wondering, can you tell us what's the...
My parents immigrated from Vietnam.
So, nothing related to China?
No.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Derek Henkel, AFP. I wonder, could you talk a little bit? I think a lot of us were wondering what was going through your father's mind when he was holding on to the post and saying, just kill me, just kill me. Can you talk about, I know he was on a long international flight. Can you talk about what his mental state was and what he was trying to express there?
I think I can, if you don't mind. Only because I asked him that question. Here's what he told me. He said that he left Vietnam in 1975 when Saigon fell. And he was on a boat. And he said he was terrified. He said that being dragged down the aisle was more horrifying and harrowing than what he experienced in leaving Vietnam. That was his response to me. So I give it to you. Yes, sir.
The Chicago Department of Aviation officers are not United.
I'm sorry, you are?
I'm Vince Gerasoli with CBS 2 News.
Thank you.
The Chicago Department of Aviation officers are not United employees.
True.
So what is United's responsibility for their actions?
Real simple. The airplane is under the control of the pilot. The pilot controls everything. He's the boss. He's actually the captain of the ship. And so Mr. Munoz smartly, I think, said, you know, we goofed up, United, we goofed up. It's our responsibility. Because under the law, the captain of the ship, United Airlines in this case, is responsible for what occurs on that. Should this forceful, violent, my word, exercise of police power have been allowed once it was viewed and seen by the flight crew to continue? No, shouldn't have. So, were these three officers, these stormtroopers for a moment, doing the right thing? No, not at all. This was not a troubled passenger. This was not a nut job. This was not a threat to anybody. Should he have been unceremoniously dragged out of that plane the way he was? He's a 69-year-old man. Is that really the way we want to treat the aged?
That's Thomas Demetrio, the lawyer of Dr. David Dow, the man who was dragged off the plane, off that United plane over the weekend. Here are some other things that struck me. You know, Demetrio said there were three things every consumer should demand: fairness, respect, dignity. That's it, he said. And he said he hoped that Dow becomes the poster child for all of us. And I hope he does too. But, you know, this is not the kind of position that most Asian Americans willingly seek out. Most hold on to the stereotype. You know, the stereotype of the Asian American, quiet, docile, do nothing. That is, unless you are chosen and it's beaten out of you, like Dr. Dow. And then, how can there be any other option? but to speak up. You take a stand and become what I've long called since my Asian Week days, a public Asian. Dr. Dow wasn't at the press conference. Demetrio said he was at a secure location and said he'd appreciate it if the media would leave him alone. Ultimately, Dow will return to Louisville, but probably by car. Demetrio said, quote, he has no interest in ever seeing an airplane. Now, I also interview an Asian American from Kentucky, near the area that Dow comes from. Mimi Wong is her name. She talks about the local reaction to Dow and gives her own perspective as a business owner. She owns helps operate her father's family business, which is the Martial Arts Academy there in the Louisville area. And she's someone who has experienced what it feels like to be bullied due to her Asian background. It happened to her family in 2015. She says while the Dow story is empowering, the micro community of Asians has little voice and very little support from social justice organizations in the area. I even mentioned if the community has heard from Elaine Chao, who's the Secretary of Transportation and who would have an interest in what happened with the United Airlines and whether or not regulations should be changed. Certainly some members of Congress have voiced their opinions that maybe, you know, regulations on bumping and that kind of thing should be changed. But Chao also happens to be the wife of Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. But Huang said, nope, Chao hasn't been heard from so far. But of course, her support would be welcome in the community. I talked to Mimi Wong. One of the ways I found out about who you were was through social media when a story of a transgression that you experienced, came up, bubbled up to the fore. And it seems that you had also a kind of a customer service issue.
We did, certainly, except it was just a very blatant, just racially slurred and just very disrespectful talking down to us because he said we were foreigners with accents, questioned our legitimacy of citizenship just because we were Asian.
So just to recap for people, because we covered it on the ALDEF site, you had a customer who paid for a year membership and wanted to cancel after three. You gave him a partial refund, but he wanted more and sought the advice of an attorney who wrote you a very, very nasty kind of letter that seemed to bully you with these ethnic slurs and, racial stereotypes. And you stood up for yourself.
I did. Most Asians, I feel would probably not have done that. But, in this day and age, I definitely feel like there's got to be somebody that sticks up for, whether it's for, my family or somebody else's family that's going through those type of discrimination. I just feel like somebody's got to speak up and say something because we're just so underrepresented, and it's not right to be treated that way, no matter what color you are.
And there you are at the martial arts school, and you're like the second generation owner of this martial arts academy. And if anyone's going to speak out, it's got to be the person who runs the martial arts academy, right?
I guess thinking with martial arts, sure, yeah. I mean, we definitely teach our students to believe in themselves and have confidence and do what's right, and all those life skills that we instill, those are the life lessons that I also want to live by when I'm also turning around and teaching those to all of our students.
Okay, so you have a kind of a mixed perspective here. You're Asian American. You live in Louisville, the Louisville area, just 40 minutes from E-Town, as you call it, Elizabethtown, where Dr. Dow was. And, you're also a business owner. and you understand customer service. So I would say that of, you know, all the people I could talk to, you're ideal because you could see it from all these different angles. So tell me, first of all, how you feel as an Asian American when you saw this and you saw an Asian American face bloodied being dragged down the aisle of a United plane.
Well, you know, for me being a Korean American, you know, with my parents being first generation, very traditional, the elderly was something that, respecting the elderly was something that was just, you know, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just something that you have to do. And culturally, I think that's what we're all taught. And when I initially saw it, I did not believe it. I really honestly thought that it was just a joke or something. But when I watched the footage, I mean, my heart sank, you know, and then finding out that he's 70 years old and to be treated that way, you know, and of course, as a fellow business owner too, you know, if you've got responsibilities and duties and, you know, you've got employees that are under you that are relying you to be there, you know, it's a tough call because you also don't want to go against, you know, and put up a fight against authority. But at the same time, I understand that, you know, there's so many responsibilities as an owner or as a doctor that you know, you just can't reschedule your appointments that easily. So, that's kind of my take on it.
How about from the standpoint of a business owner, if you own the airline, which maybe Dr. Dow will eventually if he files a lawsuit, but if you own the airline, how does that business owner react to a situation like that? And would it be anything like the way United's been acting?
I wasn't there to fully witness everything, but, you know, the initial apology of the CEO of United saying that the only reason why they caused that sort of, why they ended up doing that was because he was belligerent. But I can't imagine that he would have been to the point where they would need to literally drag him out of his seat and bloody him up to get him off the plane. If it were me, you know, and I was the United CEO, and I understand that he came out with a different statement, an apology statement, I believe, because he was kind of pressured into maybe saying that, but just due to the responses of just the entire world. But, you know, I would definitely had apologized and made sure that everybody that was involved was immediately put on leave so that we could look into the matter immediately and do, you know, like we do here. You know, we always make sure that we do our due diligence to make sure that we hear from both sides, give it as much facts, you know, as possible, and then taking the proper action to doing that.
Yeah, I mean, just to be clear, he, as you said, at first he was very praiseworthy of the employees and said that it was because Dr. Dow was belligerent or he had, you know, he was unruly. And then later he changed his tune. And then, of course, yesterday late there was the apology where he more formally apologized in a statement, but then he went on ABC News in an exclusive interview and said this would never happen again, and that the security guards, he'd never ask security to come in again. I still feel it's a little too late, or it's too little too late. Do you think that there's some compassion for the business owner that maybe it's okay? Or,
you know, the best thing to do is always to prevent it, to prevent any sort of, you know, incidents happening. Granted, you can't control every person or every employee out there, except just having, you know, great training and making sure that they're on top of, you know, proper training on how to handle, you know, if the doctor had been belligerent. You know, there had to have been another way besides strictly force to make that happen, for him to get out of his seat or for him to get bumped or whatever. But, you know, I mean, I feel for the CEO too, because, you know, sometimes it's mistakes of employees like this that really end up hurting a business.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I said in one of my blog posts on this was that maybe the security guards who were called in, they weren't United employees. They were Chicago aviation security. Maybe they looked at this guy, an older Asian, and maybe it was an Asian thing, and maybe he was bullied. You have some experience of that when you were bullied with words. And I'm, you know, right now, there's a lot of people, there are millions of people in Asia who are seeing this as, this is an example of the problem that Asians have in America. What do you think? Do you think that that's plausible, that they could have seen him, the security folks could have seen him as Asian, at age 69 and imminently bullyable?
I mean, if it was racially motivated, then yes, I can see how they would. You know, I think just, again, with just my experience, you know, with the prosecutor at our attorney general's office, you know, it was because my parents had an accent. And so when it's different from what you're used to, and, you know, stereotypically, Asians are known to be, you know, rule followers. We don't like confrontation, you know, some Asians might look like they're, weak because they don't speak up for themselves, you know, and if that was the case, I mean, that's just absolutely absurd, and everybody should be reprimanded for that. But yeah, I mean, I can see that, you know, that if it was racially motivated, I can see that they would probably have chosen somebody that was an elderly man and, you know, had an accent. I don't recall if Dr. Dow has an accent or not, but
it's pretty thick.
Immediately people assume if you have an accent, just like with my parents, that they're second class citizens, you know, whether it's Korean or Vietnamese or Russian. And a lot of people do take advantage of that. I've seen that here. You know, that doesn't mean that it's right.
In Louisville.
Yes, in Louisville. Yeah. Yes.
You know, and if they take advantage,
I hope it's not only in Louisville, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they take advantage of your father because of his accent, they'll find out he was a silver medalist in judo in the 84 Olympics pretty quick.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's the thing that bothered me about what was happening to Dr. Dow. And now that we have the apology and Dr. Dow is speaking, do you know anyone who's been in touch with him from either Louisville or, as you call it, E-Town, with him in Chicago?
I do know a family that lives in E-Town, and they have spoken to him. I don't know exact details of anything, but yeah, they were just saying that he was treated in Chicago.
He apparently has told the CBS affiliate in Louisville that he's not doing well and that he's you know, still recovering. I don't know, you know, that, and his lawyers have put out that statement as well. If you were Dr. Dow, what would you do right now?
Well, besides working on, you know, emotionally stabilizing myself and getting myself better, if it were me, you know, I would look into every single right that I have as a citizen, and, you know, uphold United, the aviation security, so that it doesn't happen to somebody else again, and speak up, and, you know, and have, honestly, just being here in Louisville and going through what we went through, it would have been great to have a group or an organization locally that could also get involved and stand up for what's right and just stop the discrimination.
That doesn't exist in Louisville?
The discrimination?
No, the, like, a group to help support people who might be experiencing these transgressions.
Unfortunately, no. I know that we've got a few, well, I can think of like one or two, but nothing to where we would get help you know, I mean, Asians here in Louisville, we are just, you know, we're just undervalued. There's not many of us. And, you know, if you look at the leadership roles just politically, there's no Asian that holds any sort of political position, or anything like that, unfortunately. If it were in any other, you know, big city, I think I could see, you know, other organizations coming forward and really stepping up and having a voice. But, unfortunately, Louisville doesn't have, as strong as of an Asian, you know,
presence. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the NAACP and other groups might, you know, other civil rights groups, they didn't reach out?
For my case personally, no, they did not.
You know, one of the things about Kentucky and Louisville is that, you know, the senator of representing Louisville is Mitch McConnell, who is married to the Department of Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao. I guess, has she made a sound of either condolence or encouragement or support or?
Not that I have seen. But that would be fantastic if she did.
I mean, she's kind of like the first Asian American woman in Kentucky by virtue of being married to McConnell in a
yes.
way. I mean, if you were to, I mean, and you're aware of her, and it seems odd that, or it seems like an opportunity for her to at least bolster how the community is feeling right now.
Sure.
Mimi, it looks like there's just, it's a small community there. Like maybe a situation where there's 6 degrees of separation, maybe even less with all the mm-hmm. Asian Americans. And that's not to say that, you know, all the Asian Americans know each other. It's just because it's small. What do you think? If they were all to speak with one voice on this, what would they say about Dr. Dow's situation?
I mean, they would be outraged. Especially, you know, if it had happened to somebody that it was one of their family members, you know, I feel like the response would still be the same, that it was just an absolute unacceptable, you know, it was just an unacceptable way to treat a paying customer.
And we saw what happened in your situation when it was a matter of a county lawyer who, acting as a private attorney for a customer, wrote you a nasty letter filled with ethnic slurs. And there was some outrage in the community back then 2 years ago. So in some ways, this is almost like the King Kong version of your story, maybe.
Right, yes.
In a way, especially the way it went social, or it went viral in social media. I mean, you took it to social media 2 years ago, but could you imagine how Dr. Dow's video just has been seen by millions of people?
Yes. I mean, honestly, I think everybody can relate to feeling, you know, very upset. And you know, I know you're not supposed to read comments and things like that, but I've read some of the comments, and really, I mean, the fact that some people are standing up for United and they believe that he should have been treated that way, just is just so absurd to me, you know. When I read things like that, I wonder, well, what if it had happened to them? Would they have had the same reaction and agreed with the way that United treated Dr. Dow? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's always, you know, our world wouldn't be what it is if everybody had the same opinion about everything. But to me, you know, not knowing him personally or anything, I immediately was just disgusted by the forceful actions of the security officer.
And yet you understand, because you've experienced a little of this yourself in Louisville, but you also, because you're an Asian in a place that where Asians are a super micro minority and can maybe be taken advantage of. Do you see this as making Asians there be willing to stand up and fight and speak out? Do you think that's one of the takeaways from this?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, I wish and I'm hopeful that the Louisville community Asians will really stand up and provide a statement. We haven't had any local news stations here really reach out to the Asian community just to get feedback on what we think. I know that our local paper did just this horrible backstory of what he's done in the past, and I think everybody's kind of upset about that as well, because that has nothing to do with him being treated in this present time. But my hope is that, you know, there's a group of some sort, or whether it's, you know, strictly Asian or not, that there is a group that works to create justifying, you know, that there is justice for people that treat Asians poorly like this. Yeah. I wish there was, and I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe one day there will be. But, you know, I don't honestly see that until we get an Asian in the public office or kind of in higher leadership roles, so that, you know, so that we do have some sort of say.
And Elaine Chao isn't it right now, I guess.
I mean, I'm politically not super involved. My fiance ran for judge a few years ago and lost just due to the, you know, lack of Asian voters out there, you know, to support Asians in general here in Louisville. And so, you know, I haven't tried reaching out to her or anything, but, you know, if she wants to do something, I'm happy to help, you know, be a part of that. But
yeah, well, you know, Dr. Dow said that, oh, it's because I was Chinese. He said that on tape. Do you think at this point, it was?
Do I feel like it was racially motivated by, you know, it's hard to say. I want to give the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't, that it was just a random bump choice. But again, you know, stereotypically, you know, I don't know if everybody views Asians this way, but just stereotypically, Asians are the ones that always, you know, abide by the law, and they listen, and they, you know, don't want confrontation. And so, you know, maybe they felt like they could take advantage of that, knowing that, you know, most Asians aren't going to say anything. They're not going to speak up for themselves, and they'll just get off the plane.
Yeah. I noticed in a prior question, you mentioned how the Louisville media hasn't reached out to get Asian American comment, and, you know, in Louisville. And in fact, the story that the Courier Journal did was really a backstory that painted Dr. Dow in a poor light.
Yes.
The community knew about that story in the past because it happened like maybe 12 years ago, but, and it's totally irrelevant. And then the story about his trouble with the law and his arrest. And,
sure.
And how he was, you know, he was just able to to practice medicine again just 2 years ago, but he was in good standing once again. But what was the feeling when that story came out? Did the people you talked to and other business, Asian business owners and Asian members of the community, did they feel like that was a low blow?
It was. It definitely was. And I don't think it justifies the fact that he was treated that way in any way. It was just in poor taste. I just thought it was, you know, it's completely irrelevant to the situation now. And, you know, nobody wants that to come back up again, you know, when it's a completely different issue and he's not being tried on the same issue. It was just a matter of human respect.
You know, I don't know how this is going to end up for Dr. Dow, but what do you think the message is to Asian Americans after, I don't know if this is going to die down. Some people say that it's not going to make a bit of difference, that maybe it might enrich Dr. Dow, who hopefully holds out for a big settlement after filing a lawsuit. But what do you think the outcome will be and the ultimate message will be for Asian Americans?
Well, my hope is that there will be more, whether it's the younger generation. I know the younger generation, like myself, you know, we want to have equal rights and we don't want to be undervalued, or, you know, we pay our taxes, we do our dues, you know, we all try to be great American citizens. And, you know, I would love to see some Asian, you know, groups come up and ensure that it doesn't happen again, you know, as long as there's, if we could just be one, if the Asian community could all come together and be one and let our voice be heard, I think it'll set the example for other companies, and, you know, so that something like this doesn't happen again, or that Asians don't look down upon because they have an accent. You know, and I don't know how far we are from doing that. I know here in Louisville, just off of my experience, you know, everybody just kind of tends to themselves, and, you know, I understand everybody's busy with making their living and everything, but, you know, if we could somehow all get together and let our voice be heard and be a powerful group, politically, economically, et cetera, then things like that wouldn't happen to our first generation, our elderly, let alone, you know, our younger generation too, or kids that are growing up right now facing, you know, kids calling them slant eyes or whatever. You know, if we can just get more involved to educate other people about our Asian culture, then I feel like it would just be so much better, and everybody would have such a better understanding of where we're coming from.
Interesting to hear an Asian American perspective from a place like Kentucky, where there are so few Asian Americans, and to hear how the struggles are very, very different from, say, those of us in California or New York or a more populous state of Asian Americans. Collectively, we're 21 million strong, but there are areas, like Wong says, where we are undervalued. And that's our program. Hey, you can always find us on iTunes. Please subscribe, rate, and review if you can. Or you can go to the website of the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund, ALDEF, that's ALDEF.org/blog. It's a 501c3, and if you're moved, there's a donate button on the blog page, and it's fully tax deductible. You can also contact me on Twitter at Emil Amok, E-M-I-L-A-M-O-K, or go to the ALDEF blog, give us your feedback, tell us what you like, what you don't like, or you can go to my personal page at amok.com. That's right, amok.com. There you can leave a voice message on SpeakPipe, no phone necessary. But if you like phones, 888-580-6069, 888-580-6069. I'll use comments in future shows. And that's it. Thanks again for listening to Emil Amok's Takeout. I'm Emil Guillermo.